And good morning or good evening, afternoon. I hope that you're doing well. And I hope that my volume is clear. The last time I recorded an online message here, the lighting was bad. And the volume was bad also. So if you're able to hear me clearly, I would appreciate if you let me know. I think I'm more easily seen, and with the background, I'm at a hotel here, and it's hard to get a place with light. But I hope that this message of the gospel is going to be really helpful unto your soul. I have an obligation, and I have a duty. Like Paul said, that he is a debtor unto all men. I feel an obligation. I feel a debt to minister unto you the gospel, because God has done so much for me. He has been, and he continually is, so gracious unto me, so forgiving, that I want to pass on this knowledge of the gospel of God's grace. And our text this afternoon here is in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 30. And I want to read from verse number 20 and verse number 21. I want to emphasize verse number 20. A word behind you. And what we're talking about here is how God puts the gospel into the heart and into the mind of his people, and he causes us to keep his commandments. And so the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 20, "And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore." Yes, he had hidden our teachers. His counsel was hidden. It's the gospel. It was not coming into our heart with power because of our rejection of the gospel, our rejection of Christ, our refusal to walk in his ways, and we were walking in our own ways. And so we did not hear from God. "But your eyes shall see your teachers." This is restoration of our soul. It's a restoration. It's a reconciliation of our relationship with Christ. "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way.'" It's the only way. "Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." And so what God is saying, my brothers, my sisters, is that by his grace, he's going to implant the word into his chosen people's heart. He's going to open our understanding. He's going to cause us to keep his commandments. And this is a word that is entirely by grace. It is not because we deserve this. If you read earlier in the chapter, he is chastising us for our refusal to believe the gospel, our refusal to repent, our disobedience, our sin, our being very stubborn. And this sin, it could be long-term sin of an unbeliever who has just now been brought unto Jesus Christ, our Lord. As he does that, I love to see it. I've been talking to a person that's been brought unto Christ and unto the truth of the gospel very recently. Is he does it for a believer that's been chastised and afflicted. I went through 18 years of chastisement before God restored my first love. That's why I preach with power now. It could be a believer after one night of sin in his mind, in his lust, his conscience. It could be an evil word he said unto a wife, or a disobedient and rebellious spirit that was shown unto her husband. And so that God chastises us, he hides his face, but what the text says is he's coming back in restoration, and he's going to teach us his way. Now, this is not because me and you deserve it. It isn't because I've been good enough and I've been so faithful that the Lord God is going to come and restore himself unto me in this relationship. It's because of his own predetermined purpose of grace and mercy. Salvation is by grace, and it doesn't have anything to do with our worthiness. It has to do with the worthiness of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the righteousness of God that he is actually justified by his own son's blood to show us mercy and to show us forgiveness and to come back unto us in reconciliation and power. It's an illustration is in the book of Luke in chapter number 7. And this is one of my favorite accounts in scripture in the New Testament. It's a man is a centurion, and he has a servant that he loves that's at the point of death. It's in Luke 7. And so the Jews, is they send the elders unto Jesus, and they tell Jesus that this man in verse number 4 is worthy, that he is a deserving. They begged him earnestly, saying in verse number 4, that the one for whom he should do this thing was deserving. Now, if I'm the Lord God, I'm offended. But thank God I'm not God. He, even though he knows that no man is worthy of his mercy, what they keep saying in verse number 5, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue, verse number 6, then Jesus went with them. He didn't even say anything. He didn't even reprove them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion, he knew better. He sent friends unto the Lord Jesus Christ and saying unto him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. And so therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come unto you. And maybe that's why the Lord came. Is he an insight from the Father, from his Spirit, that this man, he knew himself was not worthy. But see, God is gracious in the temporal things, and money, and houses, and wine, and wives, and children, and health, even unto those people who hate his guts in the gospel. But in spiritual things, if there will ever be a spiritual blessing, it is because we are unworthy. But our worthiness to receive the blessing is the word and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what this man says. It's in Luke 7, verse number 7. Even though I did not think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. That helps me a lot. Because I'm not worthy of the tender mercies that I see in the Word of God. I'm not worthy of the forgiveness of sins. I'm not worthy of the power to preach the gospel. I'm not worthy of fellowship with God, of a communion with God. I'm not worthy of my election. I'm not worthy of my predestination. I'm not worthy of being holy. But if the word of God says so, I take it. And that's what faith does. It is as an unworthy person, if we trust in our Lord Jesus Christ according unto his word, because his blood was shed to buy our blessings. He paid for our sins. He earned our blessings. I was talking to a person this morning that called me on my WhatsApp from the U.S. This is a younger man that is struggling with lust, with sexual lust, and I can identify with him. I can understand him. I can empathize him in this struggle. And what he's telling me is, I've conquered all these other sins, and the Lord has helped me, and I'm not worthy of his help, but I'm exhorting him, even though me and you are not worthy, even though you're not worthy, you and I must take the mercies of the gospel, because of the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ is by the power of his shed blood and the tender mercies of our God. As he says in the book of Micah, who is a God that's like you? That is in the book of Micah, in chapter number 7, it says this, verse 18 is, it's another whammy of a verse. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, but he delights in mercy. That's why God is able to have mercy on a poor sinner. And as I take these mercies, even though I'm not worthy of them, and I find out that God, in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter number 16, here's how he found us. And here's how he comes unto us over and over and again, as he finds us in our sin and shows us tender mercies. And so what I'm saying from Isaiah about this word, this word comes unto the unworthy sinner, because the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is for the unworthy, and it's a word of grace to forgive us, to cleanse us, to cause us to keep his commandments, to put us in the right way, and to tell us the way to go. And in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse number 6, it says this. This is what God says about how he found me and you. And when I passed by you, I could have passed over you. I could have gone in the other direction. I could have avoided you. But as to when I passed by you and saw you, is the word here is struggling. The Hebrew word means more like, I'm wallowing, I'm just conquered, I've been trampled down, I'm in my own blood. As you're struggling, as you're wallowing in your own blood, picture an infant that's been cast out and rejected and despised, is covered in his blood and is soon to die. That's how me and you are. Under the wrath of God by nature, I'm a child of wrath. Even as others, I'm a slave of sin. I'm hated by the devil. I'm deceived. I'm blind and I'm helpless. I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy in every way, just like you, because all of us have sinned and offended God, against God. I have sinned. I come short of the glory of God. It's to have sins in the past, all the way back in Adam. But the coming short is a day-by-day process of actually falling short of loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength perfectly as he's worthy, and then loving my neighbor as myself. I'm polluted in my blood like you by nature. This is the flesh. But I said unto you, God says, in your blood, in your filthiness, in your death and your near-death experience, live. Yes, I said to you, in your blood, while me and you were sinners, even while we had turned our back on him, even while he and you had been chastened for going our own way and for doing our own thing and for rebelling against him and for spitting of the gospel out. As the brother was telling me of a man that had become an atheist, and he used to be a preacher, a itty-bitty missionary of sorts. He was in Africa, and he's an atheist now. And I saw him 3 years ago turn from and hate the gospel. And I wasn't shocked at all that he's an atheist now. But that could have been me. That could be you. It could have been you. He could have left us in our blood. He could have left us and exposed us in our sin and met with us at the judgment and said, I told you so. And you wouldn't listen and you wouldn't hearken, and now it's off to hell you go. And he's going to do that unto the great majority of people, because there are many called, but there's only a few that have been chosen by God unto live. And he speaks unto them, he speaks unto us in our blood, and he says, live. When me and you are helpless, when me and you are unworthy. And so as we go back in that text in Isaiah, chapter number 30, I want us to really understand clearly as to what God is saying. And I'm going to read again, verse number 20. And though, this is Isaiah 30, verse number 20, and though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity, that's our deserving for our sin. That's our chastisement. That's the confusion of our conscience. It's the confusion of our minds. It's the overturning of our ways. It's the upsetting of our apple cart. It's Uzzah dying as he touched that ark of God. And then King David's soul is filled with grief and anger and fear. And he's separated. By his own wicked actions and his unbelief from the communion and the fellowship of God, until he hears that God has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and there isn't anything wrong with God. The problem is with me. I did not bring the Ark of the Covenant the right way on poles of faith. I touched it. I put it in the new ox cart. I sinned. I tried to do it my way. I messed up. It's the fault and the failure is with me. And I can still trust God. And I can believe him. And I can repent. And I can do it the right way. And his fellowship will be restored. And that's when David is found dancing with all his might before the Ark of the Covenant. And he tells his wife, it's the Lord God's chosen me. instead of your father, he chose me. I've obtained mercy, and I'm going to dance in my linen, in my holy righteousness. That's the imputed righteousness that comes by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to stand in my kingly garments as if I'm somebody in the sight of God. I'm standing by faith and I'm rejoicing in the Lord. And all that happened after God gave him, us, this bread of adversity, the water of affliction. There is confusion in mind. There is a hatred that comes upon our souls over our sin after we've been separated from God and we get to experience the consequences of our actions. Sin is very bitter, is it not? Is it not a pain? Is it not a trouble? That's why the master says, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. Take it out. Because it would be better unto enter life and only have only one eye than to be cast into hell for all eternity and have two eyes. He's telling us that sin is serious business. And if God Almighty, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in His great love, if He doesn't turn our hearts and cause us to keep His commandments, we will die in our sin. But part of His love and part of His grace and part of His mercy and part of His compassion is to give us the water of affliction and make us hate our sin. Hate it. I was talking with this brother that's struggling in lust, and I'm trying to tell him from experience, brother, count the cost and pay the price. Think about all the guilt, all the shame, all the sorrow, all the slavish fear of God, all the doubt, all the unbelief that comes upon your soul. And he was telling me as to how the devil torments his mind after his sin and makes him think, you're not saved. You'll never be born again. You got no power over sin. You're just going to be going back into the world. And that might be why he had such compassion over this other man that had turned atheist, is he knows he's holding on by the thread of grace, but I'm also exhorting him that this thread of grace has been wrapped all around your body, and it's almost like a tomb, and you're kept by the power of God, and he put his Holy Spirit inside of you until the day of redemption. And so we're comforting ourselves and confirming ourselves in the Word of God. And that's this Word that's being spoken behind you. Yet your teachers, verse number 20, Isaiah 30, even though I've troubled you, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. It's the Almighty God saying, I'm going to take the veil away. And I'm going to let you see Jesus Christ. And I'm going to let you know that even though your sin is grievous, and I've chastened you, and I've punished you in the right way, I still love you with an everlasting love. I predestined you. I chose you. And you've obtained mercy free of charge. And I'm going to teach you, he says, how to obey me in the gospel. That even though your sins are as scarlet, you are as white as snow. Even though you've done everything against me and spit in my face, he says, I've washed it all the way in the blood of my son. Even though you have behaved as an enemy towards me, I'm the friend of sinners. And I'm on your side. And I love you. And I look upon you with favor. And I see you beautiful. And I see you struggling with your sin. And I see you looking unto me and crying out for mercy. And I see you beating upon your breast, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. And even though I ought to be against you for what you've done, because of what Christ has done at the cross, I'm with you 100%. Now pluck your eye out and take this sin very seriously and enter into warfare with God on your side, and Do not lack confidence in this battle, even though your sin be as a giant. But learn to war and to wage war and to wage this warfare by the glory and by the mercies and by the tender compassion and the tender pity of the Lord our God, who loves you and I and gives help unto the poor sinner, all because of Jesus Christ and by faith alone. Put your trust in me and fight. And you shall win, and you shall overcome, you shall conquer. There is no temptation that has taken you that is more than you can bear by faith in Christ. And so be bold in the hour of battle. And you know that when the temptation comes, it's not worth it in my sin. It is better to obey and to believe my master. And so I look up unto him in the hour of trial, and I confess that he's able to keep me by the power of the gospel, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can overcome my sin, and I can live unto the glory of the blessed God. I can repent. I can honor him. I can live my life unto the service of the glory of God. I don't have to go back into this sin. I've overcome it by the power of his might through only believing. So let me keep on overcoming. Let me keep going. Let me keep on repenting. Let me not quit. Let me not doubt my Lord God. This is the teaching of the Holy Ghost, as he brings scriptures into mind and into the heart by faith. This is God. Your ears. Well, at the end of verse number 20, verse 21, but your eyes shall see your teachers. The scriptures. Your ears shall hear a word behind you. This is God Almighty reminding us of the gospel that we had forgotten and that we would forget if he left us unto ourselves. This is God convicting our hearts. It's God reproving us. It's God teaching us in the way that we should go. It's God opening his word unto faith. This is the way. It's the way of the cross. It's the way of victory in battle. It's the way of holiness. This is the way. Walk in it. Don't turn aside. And whenever you turn unto the right hand, and I get out of the way, he brings me back on the faith in Christ. And he says, hey, Shamu, that's not as to who you are anymore. You have faith in Jesus Christ, and the Lord's going to help you to walk uprightly. Or whenever you turn unto the left, so whether I'm being proud and I'm being legalistic, I'll be reproved. I'll hear a word. It's from God. Ashimu, humble yourself and preach more grace. It's all about grace. It isn't about you. All the strength you have is the glory of God. Or if I go into the left hand of licentiousness, you shall not sin that grace might abound. You shall not carry sin inside your bosom and preach my gospel. But you shall confess it and you shall openly own it unto me, and you shall repent of your sin, and I will forgive you and restore my communion and restore my fellowship. This is all the grace of a sovereign God. And what I'm asking you to do is to believe it. Is believe that he has come unto you. He's drawn nigh unto you in his word. Because you are unworthy. And the Lord Jesus Christ has been made worthiness for you. He took our sins in his own body on the tree. If we believe this gospel, we are one of the people he died for in a saving way. And he carried away our sins at the cross of Calvary. He put them on his broad shoulders like Samson. And he carried away the gates of death. He's the scapegoat who by his resurrection proves that the sins have been paid for in full and that they will never be held against us again in the court of law. How the Almighty will use them in our chastisement. He will chasten us for our sins. But he will never again condemn us because he condemned us with Christ who died. He condemned us when Christ died. He condemned us when he punished us in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he raised us up from the dead with Christ and in Christ. And he's given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. Not only that me and you shall make it unto the end, but that our sin shall be subdued by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the perseverance of the saints, of the God-man. So I ask you, my brothers, my sisters, to believe upon Christ and to put your power for overcoming sin in him and listen unto the word of God and take your sin very seriously and pluck your eye out, treating your sin as the most important thing in the world for you to conquer. It's not preaching. It's not marriage unto a beautiful wife. It's not making money at your job. It's not health in your body. It's not happiness on earth in anything that's happening in this world. The most important, the number one thing in the life of the believer, of the true believer, the child of God, is overcoming your sin. And if you do that by the power of his grace, it's because he's opened your ears. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." He's come back unto you in the gospel with power. And this is yours if you only believe it. All of the salvation that's in Christ is yours if you only believe it. It's mine if I only believe it. And it shall be done by the Holy Spirit of God and by the power of the blood of Christ, where there's no condemnation, there's the forgiveness of sins, and there's the help of God Almighty. until we get out of this planet and we meet him in glory, to sin no more, to have no more temptation. I ask you to only believe it as an unworthy sinner, but put your trust in the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And according unto the word, it shall be unto you and unto me. For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. I hope this word was helpful. If I can be of any help unto you in this gospel, you can hit me on my DM, or you can call me up. I want you to see and to know God, because I've obtained mercy. I'm obtaining mercy. And I believe that this is what God wants me to do more than anything in this world. Help you and I to see the gospel of Christ clearly. The Lord bless you for his name's sake.